brought a special guest tonight. This is a dahlia. Okay, you see that little dahlia? See right there? It really doesn't look too much like a lot right now, right? I've even named my flower. It's been a short relationship, but I've already named this flower. You know what I've named this flower? That's about my level, but I named it Potential. Potential. Because if you look at this, I mean, the blooms aren't even open yet. There's only two of them. And it looks fairly healthy, but it's not a huge plant. And I just have high hopes for this dahlia. So I named this flower Potential. And I did a little bit of research. I'm not much of a gardener. I mean, Lord knows, the only thing I know, I know that the dirt out in Doddridge County can grow is grass. It grows, and it grows fast. And we've had trouble with onions, we've had trouble with tomatoes, we've had trouble with corn, and we've had trouble with potatoes. But let me tell you, grass grows really, really well out there. I'm sure there's some nutrient missing, and I'm sure at times it's grown fine, but right now, not so fine. But I did a little bit of checking on what do flowers need to grow. You ready for this? They need space to grow. They need the right temperature. They need light. They need water. They need air. They need nutrients, that is, and they need time. They need time. So if you and I were to provide all those things in the right amount to poor little Potential here, guess what? Potential should grow, right? Should get bigger out of there. The bloom should open up, should be a beautiful flower. Y'all agree with that? Should. If not, and we provide all those things, we're looking at Potential, we say, well, maybe I named you wrong. Because, you know, nothing's happening. There's a problem. Would you say that? Now, in a similar way, you and I, once we trust Jesus as our Savior and are exposed to the things that we need in order to grow, we should grow or mature in our Christian life, right? In order to grow or mature as a Christian, we need, much like the flower, and this I'm not going to say this is inspired by any way, but you know, I was just looking at that list of things that a flower needs to grow. And I saw some similarities in Scripture. I'm not going to park here. I'm just going to hit this real quick and run. But some things that we need to grow as Christians. We need space to grow. And you think as a Christian, someone who's plugged into this church, guess what? I think that's speaking of opportunities. You know, we need opportunities to spread our wings a little bit, to reach out a little bit, get out of our comfort zone a little bit. I mean, Larry, had you ever driven a van before you drove this church van? As far as picking up kids for church. So you had to kind of expand your opportunities a little bit, right? Get a little bit out of your comfort zone. I appreciate John and him doing that. What a blessed ministry. I really appreciate them stepping up and doing that. What's that? Yeah, I think so. I really enjoy it. But, you know, it's one of those things, that, and I think in order for us to grow and mature in our walk with God, we need opportunities. And I believe we have opportunities in our church. We have opportunities in our church to serve. And just because there's something that's not happening that you say, well, I'd like to see happen, well, guess what? You can come to your pastor and say, Pastor, what about this idea for a ministry? Give us time to think, pray about, seek what God wants us to do. And God may lay upon your heart an opportunity. And there's opportunities now, more opportunities than you know of. I mean, sometimes in that Christmas parade, you know, we're going down there going, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It's really pretty easy, but some people are a little bit intimidated. That's an opportunity to spread your wings a little bit, right? Have opportunity. Potential here needs not only space to grow, but the right temperature, the right temperature. You know, I was thinking about this. Again, this is not inspired, and you don't have to take notes on this. But I think we have the warmth of good fellowship. You know, in our maturing and growing in the Lord, if you come to this church and you don't feel at least a little bit of warmth, I'm not talking about temperature, Larry. I'm talking about warmth of fellowship. But I'm thankful that we have warm fellowship, aren't you? it said that potential or any flower needs light. You know, the Word of God, you know what it says? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, Psalm 119:105. And that gives us direction to grow and mature, right? It says a little potential there needs water. Salvation, I believe, is if we want to liken it to what we have and need to grow in the Lord. If you're going to grow, you got to be saved first. John 4:14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting, everlasting life. Potential needs air, the right environment. You know, setting boundaries of what we do and where we go and all that. You know, you put little potential out on a frosty night. You get a Christian in the wrong setting, at a bar or some situation they ought not be at, or doing something they shouldn't be doing, or looking at something they shouldn't be looking at. That's not healthy. You're not going to grow mature in that way. Old potential there needs nutrients. You know, we get nutrients too from our quiet time and our prayer time and our Bible reading with the Lord. Church that teaches and preaches and stands on the Word of God, that's where we get nutrients in order to grow, right? And just like old potential there, we need time to grow. We need time to grow and mature in the Lord. So if you and I were provided these things in the right amounts, guess what? We should grow or mature. If we're not growing and maturing and blossoming and blooming like we should over time, after time, there's probably a problem. There's probably a problem. Tonight, last, are you ready for this? Last of the sermon series on God's expectations of us. Believe me, it went a whole lot longer than I thought it would, but I think that's the way God wanted us to do it, kind of stretch it out there a little bit. God's expectations of us. Tonight we're going to look at God expects us to grow up or mature in our walk with Him. God expects us to grow up or mature in our walk with Him. The question I have for you, everybody look me straight here, straight dead in the eye, okay? Are you growing or maturing in your walk with the Lord? Are you growing or maturing in your walk with the Lord? Tonight, if you'd open your Bibles, we're back to the same passage, and then we add stuff to it from other verses and scriptures in the Word of God and talk about it. But tonight, we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3. We're only going to read verses 9, 10, and 11. And then we're going to jump down to verse 17 and 18. And 18 is our text for the night. Last I checked, now do y'all remember what's going on here, right? Peter is concluding 2 Peter, which is written to Christians, all right? And he starts out talking about the Lord is long-suffering, but the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. And he says, all this is eventually going to burn up, so what kind of people ought we to be? And we've used that as a springboard. We're going to read that in just a moment. And then he asks the question kind of rhetorically, then he starts answering it. And this is expectation number 11 that I counted in these verses. You know, he says, what kind of people should we be? Let me tell you, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Then he starts saying, we should do this, and we should do this, and we should be this way. And I'm not going to take the time to go through all that, but tonight, God expects us to grow up or mature in our walk with Him. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I thank the Lord for that. The Lord wants every single soul to be saved. Now, there's our marching orders, right? Let's go out and tell them about Jesus. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Burned up. Now, this day of the Lord is talking about all the end times, and it starts with the rapture and then the tribulation, and then the battle of Armageddon, and then we have the thousand-year reign of Christ, and after that's when the earth's burned up. But it's coming. It's coming. Verse 11, this is really a question that really should be asked of so many people. So many people in the world, they're lost. So many people that are professing Christians. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, all these things that we work so hard for in life. And there's nothing wrong with working hard. There's nothing wrong with having these things in priority. But guess what's going to happen to it? They're going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be? It says, in all holy conversation and godliness. Now, drop down to verse 17. This is what we looked at last Sunday night. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Remember, God expects us to stay on the right track. Remember, we talked about that last Sunday night. Verse 18, our text for tonight. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Verse 18, God's expectation of us, God expects us to grow up or mature in our walk with him. Point number one, this growing up or maturing should be shown in two areas in particular. You ready for this? This growing up or maturing should be shown in two areas in particular. And if you pay real close attention, if we mature in these two areas, grow up in these two areas, it'll pretty much cover all the areas, okay? It says, first of all, but grow in grace. Grace. You know, grace is defined as God's unmerited favor. What he does for us, the good stuff he does for us that we don't deserve, it's unmerited. You know, as we become a Christian and as time passes, we should get a better understanding more and more of God's grace. Now, believe me, it's a bit beyond all of our comprehension. Y'all agree with that? I mean, don't park on it too long. Your brain might explode, okay? But I'm just saying, really, as a Christian who matures and is growing up in their walk with God, we ought to understand at least a little bit more about God's unmerited favor to me, and we ought to be able to show that same unmerited favor to the people around us. You know the best unmerited favor that we could do to this community? Share Jesus with a lost and dying world. And we have opportunities to show God's unmerited favor to fellow Christians, right? I don't know. I'm looking around. I don't see anybody here. It's perfect. And guess what? There's a whole lot more eyeballs staring back at me, and they're looking at me saying, guess what? I know you're not perfect. And you're absolutely right. So we have the opportunity to show God's unmerited favor to each other. That's part of growing up. And it says right there, you know, all this is going to burn. So what kind of people ought we to be? Well, we ought to be people that are growing up or maturing in the area of grace. In the second area, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Now, I think it goes, but grow in grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But also in the knowledge. Knowledge. You know, we should be getting a better picture of who God really is. You know, some people obviously are perfectly content with their picture of God because they don't seem to be wanting to grow and understand more about who God is. But again, that's beyond our comprehension, but it's not beyond our efforts with God's help to get a better picture. Remember when phones first came out? You know, your cell phone first came out, and they had a picture. You could take a picture on it. I mean, flip phones. You can take a picture with a flip phone if you want to. They still make flip phones, by the way. I vowed to be about the last person in the world to get a cell phone. And now I've caved. I have one. I don't know whether to get on that soapbox or not. Don't let this be your God. I mean, you see so many. I really, and Amy will vouch for this, I'm not on my phone unless I need to be on my phone. You know what I mean? I'm not one of those people that come up with 13 reasons why I should be on my phone. Let's play a game now. You know, I'm not a gamer, never have been. Boys aren't gamers. You got better time, better things to spend your time on. I'll say this. I've said this similar to the boys. Don't spend your life playing games. Spend your life living life. You know? Don't play games. Live life. Why in the world am I going? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play a bowling game on my phone. Why not go to the bowling alley and bowl the You know what I mean? But anyway, this phone should not be your life. And I'm telling you, this phone, I mean, you get me on a tote box, I tell you. I'm not so sure that this phone is not going to be the downfall of our society. Because we don't know how to communicate with people. And we hide behind emails and texts now. We'll say things in that or social media. I'm not on social media, but people are on social media and they say things that they would never say in person because they feel kind of masked or veiled a little bit. And we're pretty lousy communicators as it is. And you throw in a phone and spending time doing this, and you'd be amazed how many people are addicted to gaming. Hours and hours playing games on the phone. Come on, people. You're a child of the King. And I know we can apply that to a lot of different areas, but this is one. Just be careful, okay? I just think we use this way too much. But when you first got your phone, you could take a picture. Now, it may not be a clear picture, right? But now they're getting better and better. I got two lenses on this one, and I think the next one up comes out with, is it three or four lenses, and you can zoom in, and it's better. They got some phones that you can crop this and take this person out. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? You know that aunt that you never really cared for in the family photo? Just kick her out. But the point is that we get a better and better picture with our phone as it improves. If we mature in the Lord, guess what? Our picture should be getting clearer and more little pixels in there. You know, more and more definition. We ought to be understanding who God is more and more. So two areas we should grow in is grace and in the knowledge, getting a better picture of understanding of who God is, what He's like, and we should be changing to be more and more like Him. How are you going to become something like you don't know what it is? You know what I mean? Okay, you could ask generically to a Christian congregation and say, well, how many of you want to be like Jesus? Oh, yeah. Well, how many of you know squat about Jesus? Well, not much. Seriously, how are you going to become more like Jesus if you don't know more about Jesus? So we should be growing and maturing in our knowledge of God and who He is. Jesus the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Look at this verse. Paul got this. Paul got it. We're supposed to be growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Philippians 3:10. Notice what he says, that I may know Him. His desire was to know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. He was ready to die just like Jesus. I want to know Him. I want to know His power. I want to know His suffering. I want to know all about Him. I think he was pretty much onto this idea of maturing or growing up. What do you think? Romans 8:29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, we should this growing up or maturing should be shown in two areas in particular. And believe me, it'll cover all the areas of our life. Understanding God's grace more, showing God's grace more, getting a knowledge of who the Lord is, and therefore looking more and more like Him. You know what ought to happen? You know how people, when you get older, you start to look more and more like your parents? You said that today. You saw somebody you know and said, boy, she sure looks like her mom. You know what ought to happen is we ought to be able to look at each other. We're not the judge, but I'm just saying I should be able to look at John. And you know, John, you're starting to look more and more like Jesus. Now it's not a physical, but in our attitude and the way that we communicate and the sweetness we show, then I should be able to look at everybody here and say the same thing. You know, well, guess what? You're looking more and more like Jesus, right? Part of the maturing process, part of the maturing, growing up process. Point number one, God's expectations of us. God expects us to grow up or mature in our walk with Him. Point number one, this growing up or maturing should be shown in two areas in particular, growing in grace and growing in knowledge. Number two, this growing up or maturing is a present imperative. if you look at that verse, but grow in grace. It's a present imperative. Now, we know what an imperative is, right? It's like a command. And present means, guess what? It should be happening right now. It could be translated, be continually growing. Be continually growing. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, you know, from the instant you get saved, you ought to be growing step by step by step by step in your walk with the Lord until you die. We don't reach a stopping point, or we don't reach a plateau. In other words, in this world, we do not, ta-da, I'm arrived. I'm as mature as I'm ever going to be. I'm as perfect as I'm. That's not the point. That's like Rocky Balboa running those steps in that first Rocky movie and going about six steps up and say, ta-da, flying high and stopping. And you're like, Rocky, come on. You got to sweat all the way up, all those steps. I looked it up. That was the Philadelphia Museum of Art. I did not look how many steps. I think I've done that before, but I don't remember how many steps. But there's a bunch of steps, right? And that's what ought to happen in our life as Christians. We ought to be step, 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 step. But to be honest with you, sometimes it seems like some Christians, when they get a little bit older, it's like, there was one lady in one of the churches I pastors that folded her arms, and I sometimes did this. I think she took it personal every time I said that. I wasn't talking about her. You reckon I should tell her I wasn't talking about her? You don't even know who I'm talking about. But anyway, I wasn't talking about her, but I think in attitude, sometimes we fold our arms and we're like, yep. I'm coming to Sunday school, but, I mean, we would never say this, but in our mind, it's clicking a little bit. You know, I'm coming to Sunday school, but I probably know more than the teachers do, because I've been a Christian a while. You know, I've done a little bit of everything. You know, I've read the Bible through X number of times, and I pretty much got it. You know, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible attitude. We ought to come to church. Now, you got to keep in mind that your Sunday school teachers and your preachers are bringing the message that God has given to them to give to you. And for me to come in and act like I already know it, boy, what a slap in God's face. Really? I mean, we ought to come saying, you know what, Lord, I need another step. You know, give me another step. I want to learn a little bit more. I want to grow a little bit closer to you. That's the way it ought to be. This growing up or maturing is a present imperative. Be continually growing. We never arrive. We never arrive. Part of this maturing or growing up is recognizing Jesus as Lord. Notice what it says. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. You know, there ought to be at some point in our life, once we're truly saved, that the Lord becomes Lord of everything in our life. You see, worst thing you can do is sit on the throne of your own life, because you're not a very good ruler. And I tell you, I'm not a very good ruler of my life. We ought to abdicate the throne at some point in our life, in our maturity, and say, Lord, you're it. You know, Lord means it. You're over it. You're king. You're it. And that's what needs to happen in our life, don't you think? Part of that maturing or growing up is recognizing Jesus as Lord. Of course, it starts as recognizing Him as Savior. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Starts. You can't mature unless you're saved. So let me put in a good point right now. If you don't know you're saved, and you wonder why in the world you're still having a hard time with this and struggling with that, and you can't understand the Bible, and you just don't seem to, maybe it's because you've never been saved. That's the start point for maturity. Part of maturity is recognizing Jesus as Lord, recognizing Him as Savior. And then also, lastly, in this point here, recognizing that He is the one who deserves all the credit. Because notice, it says it ends, this chapter ends, this book of the Bible ends, to Him, Jesus, be glory both now and forever. Amen. From this point forward, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him tomorrow. I'm going to praise Him next week. I'm going to praise Him next month. I'm going to praise Him next year. I'm going to praise Him 5 years from now. I'm going to praise Him 10 years from now. Actually, I'm going to praise the Lord forever. Wow. You You see, part of that maturing or growing up is recognizing Jesus as Lord. You got it, Lord. You got my life. You got my whole life. You're sitting on the throne of my life. It's yours. I am yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. Hook, line, sinker. Whatever analogy you want to put in there. Also, part of that maturing and growing up is recognizing Jesus as Savior. That's where it starts. Part of maturing or growing up is recognizing Jesus as the one that deserves all the credit and all the praise forever and ever. God's expectations of us. God expects us to grow up or mature in our walk with Him. Point number one tonight was this growing up or maturing should be shown in two areas in particular. We should be growing in grace and we should be growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Secondly, the point we just looked at, this growing up or maturing is a present imperative. Be continually growing. And point number three, and are you amazed at this? There's only 3 points. Of course, point number three will take about 2 hours, but hey, hang in there. Point number three, this growing up or maturing is not happening in the life of every Christian. This growing up or maturing is not happening in the life of every Christian. Now, I know we can look back and we can glamorize the past, but a lot of y'all have been in church for quite a number of years. Do you think we have more mature individual Christians in our churches today or less? I think most of us would say probably less. And you may remember, again, sometimes our memories fail and we tend to glamorize the past a little bit, but you might be able to remember. I remember old Mrs. Jones. Man, she was as sweet as could be. She came in with the attitude of Jesus. She always had a smile on her face, and there wasn't anything you could ask her to do for the Lord that she wasn't willing to do. And boy, did she know her Bible. I mean, you may be able to remember people like that, right? And what about Mr. Smith? You know, Mr. Smith, he was a Sunday school teacher, you remember, growing up. And boy, he could get up there and he could teach and he knew those references. And you say, Mr. Smith, can you tell me? Yeah, absolutely. Could you connect the dots for me? And Sunday school is a good place to connect the dots. Mr. Smith could do it. And you knew he had a walk with God. And you know when those tears welled up in his eyes, you knew that it wasn't make-believe. It wasn't for a show. It was because he knew the God he was talking about. I really think we have a dearth. I think we have a shortage of mature Christians. Now let me tell you, this is nothing against nothing. But please do not take this wrong. I'm not saying this of you. But just because we have gray hair, and I got some coming over here, doesn't it make me look intelligent? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. You say, preacher, I don't think it makes you look intelligent. I think it just makes you look old. But just because we have gray hair does not mean that we're mature in our walk with God. They're not the same. We may be mature in our age on the earth, but we're not mature in our walk with the Lord. Now, it should be, for a Christian, it should be if they've been a Christian a while, right? We should be getting to the point that we know the answers to the questions. There should be a point that we know how to connect the dots. There should be a point that we don't... You know, we don't have to debate this, that, or the other. We just say, God said it. I believe it. Done. God said it. It's good enough for me. There ought to be a time that we say, well, I know why that's wrong in this society, because the Bible says in this that it's wrong. And when things come up in our family discussions sometimes, you say, you know what? Yeah, I know where I stand on that, because I've been a Christian a while, and I know exactly where I stand. And there ought not be question about, well, how do I lead somebody to Jesus? You ought to know how to lead somebody to Jesus. I'll say it again. I'll say it 100 times. I'll say it 1,000 times. If you've been a Christian more than a year, you ought to know how to lead someone to Jesus. Probably even less than a year, but I'm giving you a little bit of grace there. But if you've been a Christian for a year, you ought to know how to tell somebody how to get what you got. It's not supposed to be complicated. If nothing else, you can take him to John 3:16. And you know what mostly happens in most of our cases? We don't have the maturity. We don't have the boldness to step it up and talk to someone and ask them that question. Let me tell you, do you know if you die tonight whether you'd go to heaven or not? If we don't start asking those questions, more and more people are going to split hell wide open Because we're waiting on someone else to do our job. And I mean, it's a travesty. Now, I'm glad to talk to anybody you want me to talk to. And sometimes there's hard cases, and they're like, you've shared the gospel, and they still don't seem to get it. But let me tell you, if there's ever a time that you do not share the gospel because you don't know the gospel, that's a shame. Really, that's a shame. I mean, the gospel, again, is simple. Kids can understand the gospel. Surely you can. If you don't know how to share the gospel with someone, And I'm making it sound like it's really complicated, maybe informal, and you got to know the 10 steps. No, not really. You just got to know Jesus. You got to know what the Bible says. You're saved by grace through faith, and at least you need to know how to explain John 3:16 and what true faith and belief in your heart really means. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But if you don't know that, my goodness. A lot of times we don't share it because we don't know how. Come on. If you don't know how, it's a lack of effort on your part. Seriously. Again, this is not rocket science. I'm not showing you how to design a missile. You know, I used to talk about, well, that's not rocket science. I got to thinking, I almost was rocket science. I worked for Sikorsky Aircraft, and I was in their special projects group there for a while. I was only up for a couple years. But I got too homesick. But I was only there for a couple years, but I was in this one department, and I remember we were designing missile fins, and we were testing. My area was test. I didn't design, but I tested things like that. I mean, we tested all kind of stuff because we were kind of out here and there and, you know, special projects. That means we could do, you know, we were trying to strum up new business and using a lot of composite material and everything. But the gospel is not rocket science. I mean, seriously, y'all know how to change a tire on a car? You men say, yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, if you don't know how to change a tire, shame on you. Worse than that, if you're a Christian, have been a Christian for any length of time, and you don't know how to lead someone to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying this to shame you, really. I'm not. I'm trying to get you to action and say, you know what? I should learn that. I should be able, in a succinct way, from the Word of God, share how someone can be saved. Man, we need you as a missionary. I mean, I'm not talking about going to a foreign field. We need you a missionary in Clarksburg. We need you a missionary at Foodline. We need you as a missionary at the bank. We need you as a missionary in your family. We need you as a missionary in your neighborhood. We could all do better. I don't want to stand up here and say like, oh, yes, I have all the answers. I know. No, I could be a better missionary and a better witness. But believe me, we need to know how to share the gospel. This growing up or maturing is not happening in the life of every Christian. It's obvious from the command, if you look at the command. I mean, why would Peter feel it essential to say, you know, I'm going to command you, grow in grace! Keep growing in grace! Because obviously some people hadn't grown to where they should. So obviously there was a need. He felt the need under the direction of the Holy Spirit to say that. Obviously God gave me the message tonight to preach because some of us say, What's the big deal about maturing? Folks, we got to grow up. We need to mature. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Notice this, 1 Peter, just one book back. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Notice this. Again, there would be no need for this in Scripture if every Christian was on board, growing and maturing, even in the time of Peter. But he felt the need under the direction of the Holy Spirit to write this in his book. Notice what it says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may what? Grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Ah, goodness. You know, we ought to desire the Word of God. We ought to desire a closer walk. Why? So we can grow or mature in our walk with God. Hebrews chapter 5. We're under the point this growing up or maturing is not happening in the life of every Christian. It's obvious from these commands, these exhortations. Two of them in Peter at least, and I'm sure there's others, but Hebrews chapter 5. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. verses 11 to 14. Now, this will clearly demonstrate to you if you think that everybody that calls himself a Christian are maturing in their walk with God or already mature. Now, it's always a continual process, but, you know, there ought to be something happening, right? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Notice what it says. It talks about its warning against apostasy. It says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, says, and hard to be uttered. Now, they're hard things. There's lots of things I should be saying right now, and they're hard sayings. They're not real simple, elementary type of things, but it says, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. You, if you'll let me, can I paraphrase? You have immature ears. So I can't really tell you all that I really need to be telling you, but note, it gets deeper. Just keep listening to what he says. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Wow. Let me tell you, can I paraphrase that? We got people in our churches that are asking questions that they ought to be standing behind the podium in the classroom teaching their group and have the knowledge of it instead of asking the questions all the time. Why is that? Because they're not maturing in the Lord. They're not to the point they should be. I mean, seriously, I've been a Christian for 50 years, and I've shared this with you before. I should be further down the pike than I am. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest with you. I should be more mature in my walk with God than I should know Scripture better than I do. I should be more of a prayer warrior than I am. I should be a bolder witness. I should have led more people to Jesus. Absolutely. But you know what? The time to correct that's right now, right? For all of us. He said, well, I could be. But it's obvious that some people are not maturing. It says you ought to be teachers. Instead of being teachers, you got to be reminded of the very elementary principles of Christianity. You ought to be getting past that. It says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Boy, I believe our churches are more on milk now. We got people more on milk probably than any time in the history of the Christian church, at least in our country. It's like, feed me, I want milk. I mean, we got people that can't even tolerate a 30-minute message because they're so wrapped up in themselves and all the busyness of life. You tell me, that's not meat, that's milk. Now, you can't judge a message on the length of the message, whether it's meat or milk. That's not what I'm saying. But if we got people in our seats back here going, I've heard of people doing that. Don't do that to me. I've heard of people, and you have it. You've been very gracious and kind about it. But you know, if the preacher goes a little bit long, it ought to be like, wow, extra innings. Because we're excited about baseball extra innings. Wow, we're in overtime. Whoa, this is exciting. I mean, it should be like that. We should be tuned in and we should be listening because that's meat. That's showing maturity, not milk like, oh. That preacher goes 5 more minutes, I'm going to start snoring. I mean, seriously. I mean, we gotta wake up, folks. The Lord's coming back. Is that the trumpet I hear? The Lord is coming back. We got to mature. And guess what? I can't mature for you. You can't mature for me. The growing up and maturing is not happening in the life of every Christian. Notice this passage. This passage is really, really powerful. Listen. It says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I tell you, in a lot of our churches, we have 80-year-old babies in their walk with God. Don't let that be you. Now we have some 80-year-olds that's like, yeah, I'm mature. I know. Praise the Lord. I'm not grouping everybody together, but I'm saying there are some babies that have been Christians for years. And they're still struggling with the same old sin. They're still struggling with the same old almost useless idea they found somewhere and they're not sure and they've been struggling back and forth. Move on. Serve Jesus. it's still not done. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, or those of maturity, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, everybody here, I mean, we can't use the excuse that we're in some old liberal church and he never preaches the Bible. We can't use the excuse, well, my Sunday school teacher doesn't use the Bible. He doesn't teach the Bible. Let me tell you, I believe some of the best teachers around right here. So we can't use the excuse, well, I would be more if I just, hey, listen, we can get shot in the arm every time we come to church by the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, and plus we got the Word of God that we can take and we can read it on our own. That's even better, right? In your quiet time, spend the time in the Word of God. So there's no excuses out there. It ought to be to the point. We've exercised our senses to the point. We understand the Word of God. We're growing. Our prayer life is growing. My reading the Bible is growing. I'm even getting bolder in my witness for the Lord. I'm tithing to the Lord. I'm giving all that He wants me to give. And if you've been a Christian for 100 years and you're still giving 10%, I'd encourage you, why not try to bump it up a half a percent or something? You see, there's a lot of Christians that aren't mature. You cannot read. You cannot read Hebrews chapter 5 and come away with any other conclusion. God's expectations of us. God expects us to grow up or mature in our walk with Him. First of all, this growing up or maturing should be shown in two areas in particular, grace and knowledge. Second, this growing up or maturing is a present imperative. Be continually growing. Don't ever get to the point you think you've arrived. Just keep growing, keep growing, keep growing, keep growing. You know, one of the reasons I think one of the worst areas we have in our churches today is older women teaching younger women what they should be and what they should do for the Lord. And there's several reasons for that. I think one of the big ones is because we got ladies that got age, but they don't have maturity. That's sad. And God, I can say the same thing about men, so I'm not just picking on you ladies, and I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but I'm saying I think a part of the reason that's not happening, because we have Christians who have been Christians for years, and they've never matured either, because they've chosen to make other things priorities in their life instead of their walk with the Lord. You know, the last point we just looked at, this growing up or maturing is not happening in the life of every Christian. If this was happening physically, we'd be at the doctor, right? If we were as weak physically as we are spiritually, we'd be at the doctor. I mean, we'd be beating on the door. Doctor, you got to have an appointment. Something's wrong. But really, which is more important? And I'd be doing the same thing physically, right? If I wasn't growing and I started getting really weak and I'm growing. Sometimes I lose it. I've gained and lost that same pound at least 1,000 times, I think. But you know what? Even in a child, and that's kind of the analogy that's used, you know, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. When you're first saved, you are a babe and you're on the milk, but you ought to be gradually going up. You know, you start on the milk, and then you go to the Gerber baby food stuff, the mushed up stuff, pureed, is that what the word I'm looking for? And then eventually, you know, you sneak them more and more, and because they're growing. But we've had friends that sometimes the kids aren't growing the way they should, and there's concern as there ought to be. They're like, why aren't these kids growing up the way they should? They're not, that they haven't put on the weight they should be putting on. And then the doctors get real concerned. You run all kinds of tests. But let me tell you, there's a lot of Christians who need to go to the spiritual doctor, the great physician, and say, Lord, I'm not growing. God's expectation of us. God expects us to grow up or mature in our walk with Him. Again, the phrase in particular we looked at in verse 18, but grow. Be continually growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We looked at tonight this growing up or maturing should be shown in two areas in particular. Understanding God's grace more and showing God's grace more. knowing who God is more and more and being more and more like Him. Second point tonight, this growing up or maturing is a present imperative. Be continually growing. No arriving. Don't ever think, if God blesses you and you live to be 130, don't feel like you've arrived. You know, I'm where I need to be spiritually. We'll never be on this side of eternity where we should be spiritually. Third, this growing up or maturing is not happening in the life of every Christian. Let me ask you this. This growing up or maturing is not happening in the life of every Christian. Is it happening in your life? Is it happening in your life? Are you growing up and maturing in your walk with the Lord? Are you growing up or maturing in your walk with God? You know, I started out by introducing you to my new friend, Potential. You know, Potential really doesn't have a lot of choice because it's a plant. Whether it's going to grow, mature, I can, you know, make sure the environment is such and take care. I can even sing to it. But, you know, Potential doesn't have a whole lot of say in the matter. But can I tell you, in the life of a Christian, who has the biggest say about whether you're maturing or not? I mean, we can provide all the right things in your life. The Word of God and discipleship and ministry and all of those things. We have the Word of God and you can spend time. I mean, we can have all of the access to that. But unlike Potential here, we have a choice. And I believe that if you're here tonight and God is saying, you know what? You really do need to mature more. It's a choice. It's a choice. You choose that it's a priority to mature or grow up in your walk with God. I hope that you and I make the right choice. Again, so many times when given the choice, we choose what we think will make us the happiest right now, right? And it might make us happy right now. It's not going to last long. I hope that everybody here that knows Jesus as Savior, I hope every one of us say, you know what? My priority in life, and I know you could phrase it several ways, but my priority in life is to grow up or mature in my walk with the Lord. And if you make it that priority, it will be that very thing. It'll be the priority in your life. And you'll say, you know, I want to be under the Word. I want to be in the Word. I want to be in prayer. I want to spread my wings and fly. I want to work in ministry in the church. I want to be plugged in. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to tithe. I want to be all that God wants me to be. There's that desire and there's that hunger to grow up and mature. I'd encourage you tonight, again, if you're a Christian, just check. Do you have the want to mature in the Lord? I'm thankful that maturity isn't one of those things that God looks down and says, well, yeah, you can mature. Yeah, you can mature. You can't. But you can't, you can't, you can't, and you can't. You know, it's a choice. It's a choice. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be awesome if God someday would kind of pat us on the back? Now, I know we're going to have the judgment seat of Christ, but wouldn't it be something, you know, and throughout all the ages of glory, if the Lord Jesus Himself comes up to us, you know, and I think we're going to be walking with the Lord, and we're going to see Him, He's going to see us. Wouldn't it be something if He's put His hand on your shoulder someday in heaven and say, you know what, I just really appreciate your seriousness for God. I really appreciate your desire to mature. You know, that or the judgment seat of Christ, positive word, it's all going to make this world just boom, like it's going to burn up. It's going to dissolve in our mind. And we're not going to have any afterthoughts saying, boy, I wish I'd have done that. It's all in the presence of Jesus. It's all just going to be done. And I hope I've made the right choice to mature and grow in the Lord, because you are the master of your own life in the sense you make your choices. Now, if you know Jesus, don't misunderstand me. He is ultimately the master of all things. But you're the one who's calling the shots in your life. So you can't get to be 90 years old and be some old cranky somebody nobody wants to be around and say, well, if I'd only... Right now, you're being told clearly from the Word of God, make the choice